Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another listener question show. This is a great show because it is brought on by you, the listener. You send in some great questions. We do our best to answer them, and we get to talk about lots of Disney topics. Before we get to today's show, I want to remind you of our awesome sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm down to a mere 35 days to go till we go down to Walt Disney World for the Summit Cheerleading Championships on May 1st. And right now, I have my iPhone XS Max sitting here on my desk, and I can see that it's cycling through pictures of Disney's Animal Kingdom. I'm seeing Toy Story Mania. I just saw The Wicked Witch from Seven Dwarves Mine Train. It's a great app. It gets me excited for my next trip. Every time I post to social media, get a phone call, or get a text message, you can do the same. Make your Apple device a Disney device right now. Drop by virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast the easiest way possible. Just keep using our Amazon affiliate link. It's at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it's the easiest way out there to support the show. Again, please use the link at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1464 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. We hope that this week is just chugging right along for you. Getting through, and Disney talk always helps, and I love these listener question shows because we literally could talk about anything in the Disney universe. Sometimes Cruise Line, sometimes Disneyland, Disney World, even Adventures by Disney, occasionally Alani. So we're going to jump into the inbox today and also take questions from our Facebook group. Lots of great folks tuned in live here as we record. So let's get the ladies introduced and get to it, because it is opening weekend for baseball. Baseball starts tomorrow. Yes, favorite time of the year. All right, joining us from down in the ATL, she's also from touringplans.com, a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, and The Mouse for Less. And I heard her on my run earlier this week on Wedway Radio. What's up, Ricky? How's it going?
Yeah, Matt invited me back. I don't know why.
You guys were dishing the news.
Yes. So, he invited me back, and I think we're going to make it a regular thing. So if you like hearing me talk, go listen to me on Wedway.
Ricky's, she's a regular on Wedway, just like Dulcolax.
No, that's not, that's not a good comparison, Nier. That's an awful, awful comparison.
Yikes. Like Mylanta.
No, still awful. Why are you going with the awful things?
Intestinal. Why? We're like intestinal.
Exactly. Why is it intestinal? I want to know.
Speaking of that, I don't know if I ever told this story on the podcast, but when I knew I think I might have told this before, but I'll tell it one more time. When I knew I wasn't coming back to teach that last year, like I knew like in January I was not coming back. I had not signed a contract for the next year. I knew I was done. So, you can't really just like pack it in all the way, even though I was kind of fed up with the administration there. So I got creative because I love being a creative person. So I decided because I had like 78 sick days, which I couldn't do anything with once I left. So I took a day here and there to, I had them coming. So I took them. So, you had to call in sick. You couldn't take a personal day. So I would call in, but you always got to put like an excuse into the subsystem. So mine was always gastronomical distress. Intestinal distress, because that's what Stephen Fishback said on Survivor one time as to why he didn't win the game, because he had a...
I tried
to be creative.
I do not have gastronomical
intestinal distress.
I don't have that, and I hope that listening to Wedway does not give that to you. Wow, I'm really selling Wedway.
Sorry, Matt. All right, also joining us, we have the coder of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. How's it going, Pam? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. I would like any other projects that I may be associated with to also not be associated with gastrointestinal issues of any kind.
So the podcast will not be sponsored by the Magic for Less any longer.
Well, today's episode isn't, but Friday we still hopefully are. So we'll see. All right, let's get to the questions before we gross anybody else out. I hope you're not listening during breakfast, but I always listen to my shows in the morning, so I can only imagine. Anyway, so first question says, three questions for a 20-somethings trip. So, Ricky, this is kind of in your wheelhouse. You're not in your 20s anymore, but you think you are.
I feel like I am, yes. Let's go.
Okay, I kind of think I am too, but I'm really not even close. It says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. New listener Alexa here. Yes, just like the robot. That'd be tough. Mallory has a friend named Alexa, and I kind of feel bad because, like, we have five dots in our house. And so, like, anytime she talks about her, it's like the house lights up. Yes. No, we don't want you to answer. No, just stop. Anyway, I have one sitting here in the studio.
Yeah, you're just going to have to spell it. Anytime we get that name now, A-L-E-X-A.
I know. I have one sitting right here 2 feet from me. Anyway, she says, I'm currently only 15 miles from Disneyland, but I'm a grad student, so this is temporary. Even though I've been able to have an annual pass to Disneyland, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and Minnesota, and actually prefer Minnesota lakes to the California sunshine. Wow.
What?
I know. Wow. Anyway, I absolutely love your podcast, and I keep keeping up with the newest episodes while going back to 2008 to not miss a thing. Easy.
That's a lot of us. It is. Yikes.
My high school friends and I are having a reunion in Disney World the winter of 2020, and I've happily been designated the planner. There are four of us all in our mid-20s, and it'll be the first time for one friend to any Disney park. I have three questions. Number one, we have an absolute max of 3.5 days in the parks, and I want to see all four parks. Our budget will allow us to get a 4-day base ticket or 3-day park hopper. Which would you recommend? As Star Wars Land will be open, we probably will have one split day with Animal Kingdom in the morning and Epcot in the afternoon, or do Animal Kingdom departure day morning. All right, so first question is, and this is a good one for Pam. In this instance where they have an absolute 3.5-day stay, would you go with a 3-day hopper or 4-day base?
I think I would go with the 4-day base.
Yeah.
I was trying. It's a really hard. And I think what I'd like to see in addition is, I mean, if they're staying on site, which I assume they are, trying to do that aggressive time frame, I would like to see the extra magic hours, what parks they're in. And I really find that the extra magic hours, especially in the evening at the Magic Kingdom, are hugely beneficial. So that may kind of sway the way I'm thinking about things. But I would say probably the 4-day. You get to go 4 days into the park. Take advantage of every extra magic hour you can. Since you're doing a base ticket, what that means is if you would want to participate in the extra magic hours, that's the park you're going to be in that whole day. But I still feel like you can take advantage of the extra magic hours and still get a full park stay's worth of, you know, touring done in there. That's what I do. That's a hard choice, though. It really is.
It is. It just requires a little bit more planning when you don't have the hopper. The hopper gives you flexibility to kind of, you know, go here and there. Like, we're going to change our plans at dinner. We're going to hop over for 2 hours. It gives you that flexibility, but you're right. You're getting an extra day. So just with planning, I think that's the right choice. All right, question two. Even though we have a tight budget, I would love to incorporate one character meal, particularly for my friend who missed out on Disney Magic as a child. Which character meal would you choose for four broke 20-somethings with various levels of Disney obsessiveness? It's a tough one to read. If we did a 3-day hopper, would a character breakfast be a good thing to do departure morning, or should we do it earlier in the trip? I'm secretly hoping for Trattoria, as Rapunzel is my favorite. All right, Ricky, advice on this one. You know what? Here's the thing. I think you don't have to really worry about the ticket because I think some of the better character meals, just like Trattoria, they can be outside of the theme park. So you don't have to even put that in as a factor.
That's true. Although I was going to say, if they wanted to maximize their time, I might decide to do a theme park option just because you'd already be in the park. So you don't have to have that extra travel time. Pick whatever character meal appeals to you and your group. If you want to go to Trattoria Al Forno, then that's where you should go, I think. But I was thinking maybe something The problem is, I think breakfast is the right option because breakfast is going to be the cheaper option. I was going to suggest maybe like a Tusker House at Animal Kingdom, which might be fun if you do that kind of on your last day. Although then, you know, I don't know what time you'd be leaving. So if you were wanting to do Animal Kingdom the last day, then, you know, you might want to not do that. So, but I was thinking that because you get the, you know, the Fab Four, Five, Five, you know, that kind of thing. So, but I think that Trattoria Al Forno is probably where you're leaning towards. So that's probably what I would suggest.
And that gets a lot of great reviews from our guests. That's a solid breakfast. And
the other option,
go ahead.
The other option I was going to say is maybe Garden Grill for breakfast at Epcot, which also, you know, that has Chip and Dale and Mickey and Pluto. So that's another good option. And that cinnamon roll bake thing that they have is to die for. So,
what do we think off the top of your head, though, if we had to say, and I know we don't have the menus pulled up right now, what is the least expensive character meal on property, would you say? Is it Tusker House, maybe? I'm trying to think. I know it's obviously not like Chef Mickey's or...
No, it's not Chef Mickey's.
It's not Crystal Palace.
And it's not Garden Grill.
Garden Grill.
Dropped a large amount of money for when I went there for dinner.
I'm just trying to think of something that might be off the beaten path. And Hollywood and Vine wouldn't be good for them.
The one that I know that's a character meal that's cheap is actually Garden Grove over at the Swan or Dolphin. There's only two characters there. It's... I think Goofy and Pluto, but it's, you know, considerably, like, it's one of the cheapest character meals that I know you can participate in.
But I think
it's
actually not Pluto, it's actually Bluto, the guy that used to be in Popeye.
Definitely not. Brutus. But I think that's the cheapest one. Pluto and Nikki, there you go. Yeah.
That's why it's so cheap. They're just looking for work.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
have you ever been to a school carnival? They kind of look like the characters.
That's
there.
True.
Have you ever seen like the Mickeys at those?
Yes.
Like they'll show up pictures like, that's a great name. Like that hardly even looks like Mickey.
Well, like the characters from like the 70s at Walt Disney World. I mean, it's a wonder. Like, I'm glad I didn't go when I was a kid because I'd still be having therapy
from
that.
You wouldn't be going now, would you, Mike?
I mean, those things.
I was going to say, the only other thing I wanted to mention, though, is the bad thing about the character meals is most of them are buffets, and Disney doesn't really put the price out for those because they change. They could change by day. They could change, you know, by week because they do have sort of a surge pricing thing. So just kind of keep that in mind as for the character meals, they don't really post the price until you really get there.
That's fun. All right, the third question. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Slinky Dog seem more like children's kids rides than my all-time favorite, Big Thunder Mountain. Is this true? 10 months out and already thinking about FastPass priorities. Thank you so much if you get to any of these questions, and thanks for keeping me smiling in unmagical SoCal traffic. All right, so Pam, talk to her about her favorite is Big Thunder, obviously Disneyland attraction as well as World. She hasn't done Seven Dwarfs or Slinky Dog, thinks it's for the kiddies. What say you to that statement?
Well, first of all, I think that Slinky Dog is actually a very thrilling attraction. Yeah. And it's a long attraction. It's one of the longer attractions, especially in terms of, you know, roller coasters at Walt Disney World. So don't discount that as only a kiddie attraction. I really think it's so much more than that. And I think there's a lot of appeal in terms of Seven Dwarfs, too. They did a good job with the theming, and it is a short coaster. But when you go into there's sort of an interior area of it. They just did a really good job. And I think there's parts of it that are really fun. The fact that the cart sways back and forth, that you get to experience that. It's such a pretty attraction. I mean, the queue is pretty, all of it. It's so themed. I certainly wouldn't want to miss that just because I thought it was a kiddie attraction. I mean, there's so many things that I think many people think are kiddie attractions in the Magic Kingdom that I love, like Peter Pan.
Yep.
Absolutely a kiddie attraction, right? I mean, there's not much to it. You're in a car and you kind of just go through it, but it's just... such a pretty, pretty ride. So don't discount kiddie attractions. I think that they have a lot of fun in them. So.
I think, too, if you're coming out to World, you'd need to do those attractions because they're unique to World, at least right now. And like I said, Slinky Dog is a little bit more thrilling than you might think just looking at it. I heard Pam screaming the first time we rode, we went around that one corner. It was awesome. And the video's still on YouTube
somewhere.
I don't
like that.
So funny. And then, but, you know, I think that...
Like, I don't like that.
Well, I would say Seven Dwarfs Mine Train obviously is not a thrill attraction. Big Thunder is more thrilling. It's a hybrid. It's a part of a dark ride. It's part of a kind of a kiddie coaster, but it's all in on Disney, you know, because it's themed. So definitely it do is. Not miss. All right, next question. Actually, let's go to the chat room here and get one from Kyle. Says, we almost always drive to Walt Disney World. However, this year we're flying for the first time in 12 years. What should our family of six expect? Our kids are 14, 12, 11, 9. I don't think it adds up. But anyway, they're staying at Copper Creek. Thanks. Well, you know, first of all, Copper Creek is amazing. You have a great time. But Ricky, when you're traveling, you don't have kids, but I mean, think about it. Like, what are the things they need to think about when it comes to flying versus driving? Obviously, I think the first thing that I've learned, because I was in this boat forever, you can't pack as much. You got to really be smart on your packing. Maybe do laundry while you're there. That's actually a big hack. We started doing that and it's nice.
That's true. Yes, I know. I am getting ready to pack for 10 days and I'm sitting here going, okay, what do I need to do? Because I won't be doing laundry. So I'm like, what am I doing to get ready? So I actually did the Pam thing. I bought packing cubes for the very first time ever. we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so packing cubes. The one thing is obviously TSA is the biggest thing that people, I think, have a lot of trouble with, especially because you have so many kids that are going with you. So know that you have to take out any laptops, anything bigger than a cell phone that is electronic has to come out. So just keep that in mind. A lot of times they're making you take out food, so just keep that in mind, too. Making sure that things can run as smooth as possible. So maybe put all the electronics in one bag on the way, you know, just to get to the airport, and then you can dole them out on the, you know, while you're there, but like put them all in one kind of bag. And that way you can put them in each individual bucket while you're, while you're going through TSA. And you know, of course shoes have to come off. So maybe make sure that everybody's wearing easy slip on and off shoes, that kind of thing. You know, just the TSA stuff is the thing that I think most people don't think about. And that takes a very long time, especially if you've got six kids with you. So, that's the big thing. I think anything else about traveling, Pam, can you think anything else about traveling with flying versus, I'm trying to think. The packing cubes were big. I'm really excited about those.
The packing cubes are awesome. And they're awesome. No matter whether you're flying or driving or whatnot, I think that that's just so convenient. I think there's a few things that I always invest in terms of trying to make packing easier. For me, a good rolling bag, I think, is just, you just need it, period. I just think you do. It makes traveling through the airport, through the resorts and everything so much easier. I also like to have a good bag that goes under the seat, for when you're flying, because that's important too. Snacks, I think, on the plane are always good to have. So pack something like that. But there's just lots of, think about what you really need and then try to find a smaller travel version of that. Like I take a blanket. There's a specific blanket, a travel blanket that I have that I love, just because it makes my life easier, but it's in a little tiny thing. It really is the size of a pop can. So, I mean, just silly stuff like that. But I think.
Oh, and make sure that your devices, if you are bringing them, which I'm sure with, you know, the kiddos you will be, have whatever game or activity that they would like to play with. But please bring headphones so that they don't like play for everyone in the plane.
Yeah, you have to. Well, at least on Southwest, they are like, you need to put the headphones on.
Yeah, so bring headphones. Otherwise, there will be meltdowns, because if they can't play whatever they want to play, things don't go very well. So and make sure your devices are charged, too, which is also something that, is pretty important.
Yeah, because you can just charge them as you're waiting right there at the gate. Just, the kids don't want to mess with charging them, but they'll be glad they did. Make them charge them while you're waiting for the plane. And also, somebody else said, Vanessa, TSA locks. Make sure you have those.
Oh, there you go.
All right, so let's get to the next question. It's cruising with a baby, Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My extended family and I are taking a 4-night Disney cruise leaving at the end of May. We are so excited, as this is our first Disney cruise, and it's been a bucket list item for a while. Our daughter will have just turned 6 months, and I'm wondering if you have any tips for traveling with a baby that young on a cruise. My in-laws have graciously offered to watch her from time to time, so my husband and I can have some time in the adult areas, and we have some nursery time booked as well. Any other ideas or help would be appreciated. Additionally, I recently have been unable to eat any dairy products, and I was wondering if the Disney Cruise Line is as good at accommodating dietary restrictions as Walt Disney World is. I'm super bummed I won't be able to eat my fill of soft serve. That's exactly the first thing I thought of. Oh, that would be killer, because I'm practically engaged to that machine by the end of the cruise. But I'm hoping I still get to enjoy some food, specifically desserts, while on the ship. Thanks for your help, and thanks for all you do to prepare us for our Disney destination trips. Kelly Harris, she's from Birmingham, Alabama, says Roll Tide. Roll Tide, Kelly. All right, so we traveled with Mallory when she was little, and I think it was on the first podcast cruise. So that's 20, and I don't know if it's the first time we took her, but I know we took her on the first podcast cruise, which was 2011. So she would have been 2 at the time then, or a little younger than 2. So when she was little, she had the worst problems with her tonsils and adenoids. Like, she would, you would feed her, but she would, gag and throw up because, everything got clogged up down there. Like, she was constantly having trouble breathing. Like, she'd just sound like all the time. It freaked you out as a parent. Like, I was a mess. So anyway, we took her on a cruise. Obviously went to World first. She caught some kind of bug down there, like kids do, like a cold or something. And as soon as she got that, everything started swelling up, and she, she couldn't hardly breathe well. And we were doing these breathing treatments, like with steam and all that, stuff, salt water. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But then we had to get on the cruise, and she wasn't sick. She just had all this adenoid stuff and tonsil stuff. So we were a mess on the cruise. So we called the pediatrician and got some prescriptions on the way to the port. We stopped at a Walgreens, got those filled. So the best thing I can say is, you just want to have everything that you can with a baby, with a young child, because we knew we were going out to sea, and that was kind of a scary thought. You're not like at Walt Disney World where you can run down to Walgreens. And I know they have, doctors on the ship, and it turned out fine. She was fine. We gave her the medicine. She did okay. But it's one of those things. It was kind of nerve-wracking. So I would say to make sure you overpack as far as medicines and just the stuff that your kid might need as far as just getting through the cruise. Now, you don't need to have toys, anything like that. I'm just saying, medicines, and have a plan with your doctor. Maybe we might need this. Should we have this? Pam, can you think of anything else?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It is, that kind of thing is kind of scary, but do know the doctor, they do have a medical facility. It's a great testament for travel insurance, and checking with your insurance provider to see what they cover too, just so you know that and don't have to really think about that kind of thing. I think with a baby, one of the things that's really challenging, and this is true whether you're on a cruise or anywhere else, is they want to be on the ground, on the crawling, yes, or starting to walk, or walking but falling down. And I just remember being like, oh, that ground is disgusting. But you know what? You sort of have to just throw caution to the wind in that space. You can't make yourself crazy. Make sure, though, that you give them time and space where they can, ambulate around on their own, because that's always the thing with little kids. They get frustrated when they're used to moving around on their own and you're impeding them by holding them or in a stroller or carrying them or holding their hand or, that thing is just crazy. I think you've done great to bring those built-in babysitters with you.
Yes.
I mean, that's a big bonus, right? and plus you're taking advantage of the nursery too. So I think that's really sweet. I think that it's good to have time away. And I think it really gives your child an opportunity to do things without you in a really controlled and safe space. That nursery is just the cutest, and they have such great staff in there. So anyways, so cute there. Make sure that you bring any, Mike mentioned like the prescription medicine, make sure you bring like the over-the-counter the stuff too. That's the stupid stuff.
That's true.
That ends up costing you like $25 for some Neosporin or something.
But you know, when your kid's sick on a cruise ship, you give a kidney for some ibuprofen. You know, I'm serious, like for liquid ibuprofen. It's just what you do. So Ricky, do you want to talk about the dietary restrictions? I mean, I think she's going to be fine. Go ahead with the baby stuff.
Yeah, so I was just going to throw in, we do have on the Mouse for Less, we do have a page all about cruising with little ones. So that can be a big help. And there are some complimentary items that are, you know, included that they will provide for you. So you might want to check that out. And then you can see what items there are that are available to purchase too. So it just might help you out a little bit there. So that's kind of, I think, something you should look at. As far as dietary restrictions, Disney Cruise Line is the best. They will be happy to take care of you on your cruise. You know, just make sure you speak with the your crew staff would at the first dinner that you have. And actually, I think you can even do it beforehand as well. Maybe when you get on the ship, I would, you know, just head to the, they usually have one restaurant that's open for like discussions. So, you know, if you needed to switch your dining or, you know, time that's open for that, or if you do have a allergy or things like that, you can go and speak to the dining team beforehand and kind of have that discussion with them. But they will absolutely be more than happy to assist you and take care of you on your cruise. And you'll get some delicious food along the way too. So don't worry about that. Now, it is a bummer that you can't have the all-you-can-eat ice cream. You know, Disney Cruise Line will absolutely take care of you on the dietary front.
I hope I never go. If I ever have a lactose intolerance, man, just put me in the ground. I'm just saying. And I love me some peanut butter parfaits.
This show is sponsored by Dairy Queen.
That's exactly right. All right, let's get to the next. Actually, there was a question earlier way in the chat. Now, the chat's flying by, so I may have missed who asked. I think it was Jennifer. And she said she was, it was Jennifer Shelton. She was like, this is kind of looking up some stuff for a friend. And she was kind of, she said she was surprised. I think a lot of people may have this question, so I'm going to throw it out here, that she was pricing a room for Pop Century and had two adults and three kids. And it worked. And she was like, how does that work when the capacity of a Pop Century value room is four? But one of the kids was one, so it was a baby. So what happens in that situation, just so she knows and everybody knows, that kids two and under don't count against the capacity for the room. So you could technically have five in a value resort room if one of the kids is two, one, or, you know, under two. Mm-hmm. So, but Pam, I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, I know like a lot of times the budget's super tight, and that's why you're looking at an All-Star Sports or a Pop Century. You know, you're not trying to splurge. But I mean, by the time you get, because you're going to need to pack and play at that point, or some kind of a place for that young child to sleep, as well as, you know, two beds full of two people. That's where a moderate kind of makes sense, because you could get the pull down bed in like a, you know, a Caribbean beach or a Riverside, and everybody's got a place that's kind of, it's just, and you got a bigger room. I just think it is a little bit more, but I think that for the sanity, especially if you're going out four, five, six, seven nights, it's going to be money well spent.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Although technically in those rooms, you know, Pop Century would be the one I think I would attempt it at, just because of the new configuration with that room and the fact that you can, you know, it has the pull down bed, and they're working on movies, but that's going slow right now. So, you know, you cannot be guaranteed to have one of those rooms. So they do offer you the ability to have a pack and play, but you kind of feel like it's there, it's right there. You know what I mean? It's like, it always feels like it's in the way somehow. So just consider that. I kind of tend to agree with Mike. If you can swing a moderate resort, that might be the way to go. Just that little bit of extra space gives you a place to actually put the pack and play. There's actually a designated space for it. You know, Not that Disney designates it the pack and play spot, but
this is the pack and play spot. This is where it goes.
There's not an X on the ground. It's like, you must put the pack and play right here. And if you don't, then no. I don't mean that, but you can designate a spot for it. And it can kind of stay there. I think if you're in a value, what you're going to feel is, it's like as soon as your child gets up, it's like that pack and play is getting, you know, collapsed right yep. now because it's in the middle of everything. So just consider that.
I've heard some people putting them in the bathroom area. Not, you know, not the bathroom yeah. bathroom, but like by the vanities, like the vanity, because you can kind of close right. that little curtain or, you know, heart like right. the slide out door, the pocket door. That's kind of interesting.
Right.
I'm just, right. you know, I'm
a
glad Mallory's older now.
You can't do that
yeah.
though.
Oh, I'm just, I'm glad we don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. And I saw today that Disney's looking at banning those wagon strollers. Thank you. Those things are huge.
Right.
I've had my toes run over by a couple. That's just why I'm a little bitter there. Because
it's
huge.
A lot.
They are. They're a lot. All right. Next question. March birthday trip or less crowded May trip? Hi, Mike. Love your show and all the great advice and information. I've been going to Disney World since I was 4. I'm now 39. Yikes. And I just became a DVC member since my son and I love traveling to Disney together 3 times a year. Since with DVC, I have to plan ahead and my 11-month booking window, I'm already planning my 2020 trips. My son will be turning 13, yikes again, in March of 2020, and we would love to be in Disney for his birthday. However, we usually try to avoid the busier times of year, and I believe this will be smack dab in the middle of spring break madness. Easter falls on April 12th in 2020, so my question is, should I avoid March and push it to the beginning of May? Also, we'd be saving a few DVC points, or do you think we should be somewhat safe going for his birthday and just go with that so we can celebrate it at our happy place? Thanks for any input you have. Jill from Turnersville, New Jersey. All right, I have a definite opinion on this one. I think we'll all fall on the same one. I say go in May. That's the best time to go. Apparently, you're using less points. And also, the weather is awesome in May. And think about it. Your son can celebrate his birthday at home, and there's no rule that says you can't celebrate your birthday when you're down there, you know, in May, and just say, we're celebrating my son's birthday a couple months late. No problem. And it's just, it's not going to be as busy, most likely. So, Pam, do you agree on that one? I would say May.
I do. I absolutely agree on that. I think it makes, you know, perfect sense. And Disney does not, you know, require that you show proof of the birthday celebration. So, so you can go and celebrate when you want. I think that's the beauty of it.
Ricky, where do you fall on this?
May, absolutely. May. 100% May is one of my favorite times to go. Me not too. That March isn't, or April, or I mean, I've gone pretty much, I think I've gone every single month of the entire year at one point or another. So, you know, any time at Disney is a good time. You just have to manage expectations, of course. But May has always been one of my favorite times of year. It's the time that Brian and I went on our first trip ever together. So May is, it always holds a great place in my heart.
All righty. May it is. All right. Next question. Help last minute trip during Star Wars race weekend, which I believe is coming up. Is that this weekend? No, it's next weekend.
It's the 4th. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, well, yeah, next Wait. Weekend.
Yeah. Next weekend. Yes.
Anyway, it says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My son and I have been listening to you for just about a year now, every Wednesday morning during our commute. Thank you for making our drive a fun one. We can also listen on Mondays and Fridays too. We have other shows. I've just planned a last-minute trip to Walt Disney World during Star Wars race weekend. And by the way, may the force be with all of our lizards that are going
yes.
down.
Yeah, racing. Right.
It's a great race. I wish I was going. We need to have an AEP this year, Pam, so I could run. Anyway, it got me in last year at the last second. Anyway, we arrive in the morning on Saturday, April 6th, and we leave on the morning of Tuesday. Sunday and Monday will be park days. We're thinking Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom for parks. I've been to Walt Disney World many times, but never during a race weekend. Is one park busier on a certain day? Could you recommend which park we should go to on which day? Magic Kingdom has extra magic hours on Sunday morning, and Animal Kingdom has extra magic hours on Monday. Not sure if that makes a difference during a run Disney weekend. We're also staying at All-Star Movies and have never stayed there. Any tips? Thanks for all your help. You guys are great. Sincerely, Marcy from Providence, Rhode Island. She says, please give a shout out to Benny, my 5-year-old son, if you can. He will be so excited. What's
Hi,
up, Benny? Hey, Benny.
Hi, Benny.
Benny. Lots of shout outs. Okay, so hopefully you're having a good time out there in Rhode Island. So, race weekends, quickly in a nutshell. The runners are out of the parks typically earlier in the evening. So the nights of the if you're not a runner, you want to be there till park closing if you can, because the runners duck out after dinner. The traffic can be a mess, especially on the half marathon morning, which I believe is Sunday for this weekend. And the racers tend to go to the Magic Kingdom to get their pictures with their medals post-race on Sunday. So the runners will start arriving at the Magic Kingdom around 11 or 12, around lunchtime. And they'll tend to, I just see that a lot of runners go to the Magic Kingdom on Sundays and kind of finish out the day, have their ice cream. That's what I do every time. So that's kind of the thing. Pam, I mean, you guys have seen it from the other side. Like, what's the impact other than that for somebody that's going down over race weekend?
I'm going to say the transportation is a mess. I'm just going to say this in terms of just not only getting, you know, using your car, but it's really challenging, I think, for the cast members who are working in transportation. They're often not told exactly what the impact's going to be until, you know, it's sort of late. So really take that into consideration when you're going where you need to go on that morning. We ran into that, and I just still am frustrated with them that they cannot get this together. Right. In this aspect, I really am. So anyways, besides that, I mean, I hate to be negative about that, but this is criticism that they well deserve in this area. Mm-hmm. They're making money on the registration and everything else. They can figure this stuff out. But I think that you'll have some challenges maybe getting some dining arrangements.
Yeah, runners like to eat, yes.
Yeah. Plan those as early as possible. If you're not early, you're going to be late on that one, and you might be eating at some less desirable for you spots. But then again, you may find your new favorite location, so consider that. But if there's some place you really want to eat, make plans for that. Mike's right. The parks aren't too bad. I think the other place that people tend to go after the races is Epcot. There's a lot of drinking around the world that happens.
That's true.
So consider that too. And wherever the newest attractions are, because a lot of times they're looking to see those too. So it does have kind of an impact on the parks after a while. But then in the evening, that should die down some.
All right. Heather's got a question in the chat. She says, we're staying at Wilderness Lodge for the first time this spring. What recommendations do you have for activities at the resort on our off park days? We're not really going to answer that one today. Heather, we got your hopes all up there because I read your name and read your question. But Friday, we're going to talk about, it's going to be called the other stuff. We're going to talk about stuff to do that you may not be thinking of. And it's just little things that might be a half hour here, 45 minutes there, that when you go home, you'll have some, you know, cool extra pictures and extra memories, stuff that we don't talk about. It's the minor stuff, the other stuff. But we're going to talk about that, and we'll hit Wilderness Lodge. So we'll get to that on Friday. Rob in the live chat, it says, first time he's watched the live show, longtime listener. Do you know if they'll be doing fast passes for any of the Galaxy's Edge rides? Ricky, you give the bad news. Or the good news. It's actually good news.
Yeah, it depends. At first, no. So there's that. For the Millennium Falcon attraction, which will be the first attraction that comes online when the land opens, they will not be offering FastPass. There is a FastPass line that has been built, and they will be offering FastPass at some point. I believe the Millennium Falcon also will have a single rider line that also probably will... I'm not sure if that one will be open during the initial opening of the land or not, but for sure, FastPass is not. And then as well, the other attraction, the Rise of the Resistance, will also have FastPass. But again, no idea of whether that will offer FastPass when it first opens or if it will work the same way the Millennium Falcon attraction will work, where they will not offer FastPass at first. And we don't know when they will start offering FastPass either. So it's going to be I'm sure they're trying to get a handle on, you know, capacity and all those things. So until they have a really good handle on those kind of things, they're not going to offer fast pass for the attraction.
How fast will you drop Brian if single riders open on the opening time that you're there over Labor
Day?
Peace
out. See you later. There's attractions in Paris that we're going to go ride. And I'm like, look, see you later. I'm not riding with you. I'm just going to wait in the single rider line. It's fine.
I'll see you at supper, Brian. See you later.
Crush's coaster. It's fine.
There you go. All right. Last question today comes from Sherry down in Houston, Texas. She says, the title of the email is Sellout Potential of Special Events. Howdy, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My family of five will be at Walt Disney World mid-November this year, and I'm trying to plan some extras. I'd really like to go to early morning magic and also the dessert party at the Magic Kingdom. My budget has changed some, so I'm scaling back on some of the original plans. I would like to do both of these events, and they may still make it into the budget, but I may not be able to make these decisions until closer to the travel dates. My concern is they might sell out. What do you think? Also, if you could only choose one extra, what would you choose? Okay, so here we go. Early morning magic at the Magic Kingdom, early morning magic at Hollywood Studios, or park hopper option on the tickets. We currently have regular tickets planned, 3 days plus the Christmas party. My kids will be 4, 6, and 8 during our trip, and we'll be staying at the Contemporary. Thanks, Sherry. Okay, some good questions. All right, first of all, let's get to the concern that special events will sell out. So, Ricky, I mean, I've been looking, and I know the guests have been looking, and these events are selling out right now, correct? We lost Ricky. Here she comes. Here she comes. Drum roll. We cut her out. There she is. I was looking at the email. There you are. You're back. All right. So the question is, like, we've been seeing these events actually do sell out, these extra early morning magics and after hours.
Yeah. So she was asking which one to choose. Was the early morning magic or the park hopper? That was the question.
Correct? Well, initially she was asking, do you think these things will sell out? And I would say the potential is pretty high.
Yeah, I know that the evening ones at Animal Kingdom have been selling out. And I think maybe I saw a Magic Kingdom one too sell out. So it seems like the evening hours are selling out. The morning ones are still, I haven't heard about those selling out. So you're still okay. You know, if you kind of wait a little bit till you find out more about your budget. And knowing Disney, they probably won't release the dates until about the time that you're looking at maybe making those final decisions on your budget anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that you'll probably know about where you'll be when Disney releases the dates.
All right, so let's make this last decision for her. So she's looking at, you know, she's trying to make this one splurge, just one extra upgrade. She's looking at extra morning, and she has all abbreviations here, so I'm doing the best I can. Extra morning magic at Magic Kingdom, extra morning magic at Hollywood Studios, or park hopper tickets. And the kids are 4, 6, and 8.
Okay.
Pam, what would you go with out of those three things? You get to pick one out of the bag. Man, it's a tough call. I still can't decide.
I am such a we use, and I've said this many times, park hoppers so much that I almost would go with the park hoppers. And the reason is that that means every day it lets me take advantage of the extra magic hour park that day in addition to another park. And I think that's worth a lot. Mm-hmm. You're talking about another hour in the morning or 2 hours at night of having a reduced crowd level and being able to take advantage of that. I really think that that's a big part of my vacation, that I like being able to do that. And it also offers me a flexibility that other things don't. So if you just have a base ticket and you're strolling in to Magic Kingdom and you're there at like 11:30 and you're looking around and you're like, oh my gosh, where did all these people come from? Mm-hmm. And why are they all at the attraction I want to be at? If you just have your base ticket, you can't bounce to another park. Mm-hmm. You're there. So you've got to really just kind of stick it out. And like sticking it out, the Magic Kingdom is, you know, quite in quotes there.
Yeah.
You know, right? You're sticking it out. But at the same time, you know, having the park hopper just offers me a flexibility and a peace of mind that those other ones won't. So
yeah, I'm going park hopper too, just because it gives you flexibility throughout the entire stay rather than just like a 1-2 hour thing and it's done. Even though it's a great event, and they're all about the same price approximately. You know, you're looking like in the $80 range. Mm-hmm. You know, $70-$80 for all three things. What, Ricky? What do you say? I go park hopper too.
I was leaning toward park hopper as well. And a lot of it, Pam brings up really good points, is, you know, if you did the other option I would have suggested was probably the early morning magic at the Magic Kingdom. And the reason is you get 6 attractions there versus just the, you know, 3 at Hollywood Studios. So, you know, you would get a lot done in that first hour, but if you had the opportunity to take advantage of the extra magic hours and then bounce to a different park after that, or, you know, be in the park, a different park, and then come in the evening, you'll have more time overall, because you'll have the ability to have the hour of whatever in the morning, and then you'll have the hours in the 2 hours in the evening. So I'm going to go with Park Hopper. I think that's the better option.
All right. Well, that. Oh, and Kim in the chat is asking, wondered how difficult it is to get into Trader Sam's. You just got to go up to the greeter and say, "Shark bait, ooh ha ha," and get in.
So, no.
Yes. That's, you didn't know that? That's going to be in the 2020 unofficial guide.
I bet it is. Yeah.
Shark bait, ooh ha ha.
Just there's a door. You just go to the door, and most of the time,
and there's a person sitting there, and you go right up to him. Shark bait, ooh ha ha.
I think it's been okay as of late. I heard that they were actually changing the hours, getting here soon, and I think they're going to be opening earlier as well. So that will allow even more guests in to experience Trader Sam's. So you should be just fine.
Yeah, it could never hurt. You could say it. It'd be fun. Anyway. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget, today's episode brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. Ricky, yes. What's in the news this week? What can we read about?
So exciting news, actually. There is going to be a brand new film that is added to the Land Pavilion at Epcot. It is replacing Brian's favorite, The Circle of Life.
That was not Brian's favorite, was it?
It absolutely was.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I'm not joking. Brian loved that stupid film.
It was so preachy.
Well, Brian wants to save the world.
We looked at each other and we're like, little preachy dog.
I think he just liked it for the nap capabilities. True. And that was mostly why he enjoyed it. But he very much enjoyed seeing the Circle of Life film. So now we will have a new film we can catch for him to nap in. And it is called Awesome Planet. And the film will showcase the beauty, diversity, and dynamic story of our Earth. And there is currently no word on when this film will officially debut. However, I did see over the weekend that they did have the sign up for the attraction. They had the graphic that they shared online. They have it now out front in front of the attraction. So who knows if we'll be getting this sooner rather than later. I mean, Earth Day is coming in April, so maybe they'll want to debut it before Earth Day. Who knows? But I'm sure I will share with you all when it actually officially opens as well.
Look at Ricky connecting those dots. That's what she does.
I know! Smart. SMRT.
That's at Hazelwood School District Education right there. It's
absolutely
the best in the country.
100%.
All righty. Created two great podcasters right out of one school district in North St. Louis County. It's scary.
Little did they know.
Yeah, little did they know. We're on the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Shame, I think.
That's
actually.
Right. The Hall of Shame, definitely, for the two of us.
All right, don't forget, you can grab this app. It's a free iOS app, Theme Park News Disney Edition. Check it out at virtualmickey.com. Thanks to everybody, including Nancy Turner down in Houston, always uses our affiliate link. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, we got a great Facebook page at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday talking about the other stuff that you can do to make your next Disney vacation just that much better. It's going to be a fun show. So join us for that. And until then, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike saying, ooh, shark bait, ooh, ha, ha. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.